Y'all turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. You can turn to Matthew 25 and then also get, maybe put your finger in Luke 19. We're going to look at a couple passages right here. And really for the title of this message is, if it's titled, is Faithfulness Produces Favor. And faithfulness, you know, produces favor. It opens doors. It creates the blessing of the Lord. But y'all know me, being a political, constitutional guy, I did not pay any attention in civics and economics in high school. I didn't have a clue and wasn't interested. I had other things to do. Anybody else was all that way about anything? Even Rick Green, America's constitutional coach, he said, I didn't pay any attention to all of civics and economics in high school. And so Laurie scolded us, Pouty, if she could, but she can't. She's sitting there being nice. And I so much wish I had. And we're so, the church, especially after becoming a believer and a child of God and being born again and knowing the responsibilities that we have. And you look back on our founding fathers and the things that took place. I wish I'd have paid more attention. I wish I'd have been. I love history, and I've really gotten to where a lot, but we realize that God so called us to be good stewards over what He's our area of influence, what He's given us. So we're to cultivate it. We're to keep the weeds out. You know, and the weeds would be the Pelosi's and the Schumer's and things like that, in my opinion. We've let trash come in. And because so many of us were like me in the church, you know, before we were born again, but still as young people, we had all these grandeur ideas and we didn't need all that. And as you get older, you realize, I wish I had learned that, because to know how God put this nation together and what we could be experiencing if we had been diligent to make our call and election sure. And so I want to talk about, these are two accounts of Jesus' parable of the talents. And I'm going to read, how much I'm going to read. We got a lot of things to do today. Let's just start in verse 1 of chapter 25 of Matthew. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to... No, that's wrong. Nope. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. He did business. Verse 17, and likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Who was their Lord? They paid attention, okay? Verse 24, then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own interest with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, before we go to Luke, we got to realize they were all 3 servants. So But two of them chose to do the will of the Father, to be diligent to make their call and election sure, to do business. And then the one was kind of like I was in high school, Howdy. You know, kind of slothful. I know nobody else has here been that way, so that's why I'm talking to me. But the big thing I got right there, and we're going to see it over again over in Luke, because of their faithfulness, they entered into the joy of the Lord. And where the joy of the Lord is, there's peace. And when we are willing and obedient, we not only eat the good of the land, we spend our days in prosperity and our years in pleasure. Now, I know some of you think, you know, because I've thought the same thing. Some days the situations and circumstances we're in don't seem very pleasurable or prosperous. But when we stay put, when we stay hooked, when we won't back down, when we won't waver, when we realize what Corey shared in Ephesians 3:20 last week, my God is able. Amen. Not only is my God able, because he loves me so much, and we're going to see that in another part of the message here, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I've come to expect that happening in my life. I mean, yeah, there's days that I'm like, yuck. But if you just, the thing, I don't know, how many people in here are 60 and over? Have you learned, thank you for responding. A lot of people wouldn't want to do that. Have you learned that when you have the, you know, I'm kind of an impulsive person. I get these ideas and I'm just like, I'm going to do it. I've learned to sleep on it. And I wake up the next morning and I look at that and think, that's not a good idea. Has anybody else learned that? I mean, it's like, wow, it'll save you a lot of time, a lot of frustration, and a lot of money. Part of being a good steward is sleeping on it sometimes. And thinking, wait a minute, was that God or was that just foolishness? You see yourself as you get old, you still see the pictures in your mind of doing the things you did at 25, at 70. The body ain't following the mind. And it's like, I like the way Jesse put it one time. He said, I can still do, Jesse Duplantis, he said, I can still do anything right now at my age that I could do when I was 20. I just don't want to. Dennis McKinley yesterday, Sharon, tells me, you need to be tying calves down. I said, I don't need to tie calves down. Well, yes, you do. A good friend of ours, Butch Myers, passed away last week, and he's a year younger than Dennis. He's 78. Dennis just turned 79. He said, well, you know, I ain't talking about you got a rope and off the horse and tie all of them down, but you need to run down the rope and flank tie every day to get to exercise. I'm like, I got other exercises I do, you know. And he said, yeah, but you know, Butch died. And he said, he had my blood pressure. I said, my blood pressure's good. Dennis comes up with a lot of ideas. He's not watching this morning, I'm pretty sure. I love him. He's got great ideas, but sometimes I don't agree with him. So, anyway, let's look over in Luke at this account of the same thing. In Luke, let's see, what did I tell y'all? 19. I turned too far. I lost my place. This starts in verse 11, Luke 19. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem, because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. Do business. We're to occupy. We're to take part in the affairs of, we start in our family, and we go to our city, and our church, then our city, then our county, then our country, then our state, then our country. It works all the way up. If we can't establish it in the family, we're going to have pretty poor leaders as they get older. If we did what we were supposed to do. And so it was when he returned, having received the kingdom, that he then commanded these servants to whom he'd given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. We're supposed to trade. We're supposed to do business. We're supposed to take a responsibility for the affairs in our area of influence. Then came the first saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another one comes, and he's the one, the slothful one. And he said, here, I hid mine in the handkerchief. And because you were an austere man, you collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth, I will judge you, you wicked servant. The words of our mouth are very important. Out of his own mouth, because of his slothfulness, because he was lazy and he was fearful. There's, you know, perfect love casteth out fear. When we love the Lord and know He loves us, perfect love casts out that fear. We ain't got no fear of doing wrong. We ain't got no fear of stepping out of the boat because my God's big enough. My God's willing and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. All He's asking is for our obedience, for our willingness to get out there and say, you know what? This is my area of influence. I'm not backing down. I'm not yielding any ground to the devil. I'm taking over. There ain't no Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, Clintons, or anybody else moving in on my territory. They're going out. I don't know what's in store for them. I hope they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but until they do, I hope they're miserable. Well, you know what? It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance, and they haven't entered that yet. So they're having a hard time finding there. He said, in verse 24, he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10. And they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas, but for I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. I want to be in God's favor. I want to be in God's blessing. I want to walk in that. And, you know, this isn't a pressure thing. It's like I say, like we shared in tithes and offerings, when we make up our mind to conduct our affairs according to the Word of God, we begin to have an expectation create us in us, within us, rising up in us, so that our light shines before people and men, and we expect favor. We expect to be blessed. We expect to walk in divine health. Now listen, we know the challenges are there, and we know we face those things, but that doesn't mean that we expect less. It's like, I'm getting there. You know? It's oh, to have learned all this when I was y'all's age. But no, I had grander ideas. We won't go into any of them at the moment, but you know, we all had them, and I think now a lot of us look back and say, oh, had I only listened to you, Lord. Had I been willing to lay down my plans and maybe listen to what your plans were. And Dennis, here a while back, one morning, I don't remember, he gets up and he gets in a wreck before 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. And he said, you know, I think sometimes that's what happens when you don't go to the Lord before you start the day. And I said, yeah, I kind of look at it like this. I said, you know, if I work for some, I used to work electrician's helper. And when I was in late high school and college, and I'd go to the shop, and we'd get our orders for the day. We met with Truett, the boss, the owner of the company, and we got our orders for the day. And it's like, I said, Dennis, that's what it's like to me. It's like, if I don't get up and get my orders from the Lord before the beginning of the day, I usually am frustrated before 10 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes I'm still frustrated because I try to do too much of it on my own. But when we get there and we inquire of Him and He begins to order the steps and putting things together, and we get this attitude of, I'm going to be thankful for Him ordering my steps. I'm thankful that He's protecting me from things that I did not want to really want to go through, that I thought maybe we should kick that door down. So just let's get into favor. Now, this is really the meat of the message that we've got 12 minutes to share. This was just getting there to it. Go to I'm going to tell you what, if y'all, I'm going to let y'all write these down because I won't get through these here. If I'm going to give you the scriptures and I'm going to ask you to go, maybe go read them. We may turn to some of them. But, you know, the last time I ministered 6 weeks ago, I talked about the love of God and how you know, there's not one thing we can do that can separate us from the love of God. And when I was studying for that, the Lord took me to David, King David, a man after God's own heart. And we're going to recount the stories, but these are characteristics of David, and I'm going to try to turn to them, but let's see. Number one, these are seven characteristics of David that set him apart as a man after God's own heart. And the Lord just began to deal with me. He said, when you develop these characteristics in your life, you become that man after my own heart, man or woman after my own heart. You know, no matter what mistakes we made, no, it doesn't make any difference. We're still after God's own heart. Number one, David was full of faith. We're going to try to turn to these really fast. 1 Samuel chapter 17. David was full of faith. I should have marked all these so that we could go faster. I didn't, knowing how much we had to do. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. This day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in heaven, in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And we're probably not going to get through all this because the Lord just said to share something. We need to be full of faith that God's able. That in 2 Corinthians 10, not wherever it is right there, he said, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." This concerns our nation. Right now, I get a pic. This is what I get. This picture. This is another one of them. Almost the Red Sea moment. Listen, he said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, of the God of the armies of Israel." We need to go in our influence in the name of the Lord of hosts, not in our own wonderful personality characteristics, not on our own little agenda, but we need to go in the name of the Lord of hosts. We need to go knowing that. That you know, these people being influenced by the enemy. That's about the nicest way I know how to say it. They're defying the armies of the living God. We're part of the army. He said, "Uh-uh, no, you. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." Now, I'm not asking for him delivering into my hand, but as we do our part, God will deliver this nation into our hands to occupy and do business. He said, he's striking some and taking them down forever. We got to be willing and obedient. We've got to stand. We're going to see, those kids are going to see this year at school, things happen. We prayed over them. We stood in agreement. And it tells us in Job 22 that if we declare a thing, it'll be established for us. The schools will change this year where those kids are going to school. The colleges, the universities, there. It just takes one. It just took one. It just takes one. When they speak, when they, God is going to honor their willingness and obedience. Hallie's going to tell us things happening this year that it's like, wow. Like praise and worship this morning, wow. Hallie's going to come with some wow testimonies before this year's out. I'm believing it. I'm decreeing it. Listen, we're going to see things change for the good. Now, look, we're in the end of days. We're in the last of the last days. It's not going to stop. The battle will not be over just because we get some good reports. When President Trump and Vance get put in office, when they get inaugurated in January, I'm not saying if, I'm saying when they do, when this takes place. When we're going to, listen, the battle ain't going to be over. It has just begun. The fight is going to get very intense, and it ain't going to be no time to let up and quit praying and quit standing for each one of those people that God's placed in office to help us bring about the salvation of many in this country, in this nation, and around the world, because that's our responsibility. That's where we're headed. That's where we're going. This is just a stepping stone. It's one of the areas that we've been put here for such a time as this to do and to take place. David was a man after God's own heart. He was full of faith. He wasn't backing down. He knew, as Corey said last week, Ephesians 3:20, my God is able. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. He could bring a norther before we got out of church, and it'd be cooler outside. I don't know if it happened. We can't get through all these, but I'm going to give them to you, and I'm going to give you the scriptures, okay? Number one, David was full of faith. So cultivate faith. Meditate on the word. Take the time to just stop and think about it, okay? Number two, David trusted in the Lord. And that was 1 Samuel 24 is going to relate to a lot of that. It's about his respect for Saul when Saul was trying to kill him. And David's actually in the cave, you know, and Saul calls back there, and relieving himself. And David happens to be hid in a crest of the rock or something, and Saul don't know it, and he cuts off a piece of his robe. And then David's ashamed because he exalted, you know, he said, and he went and he repented for that, and he went to Saul, and he said, I'm not going to put myself, you know, he trusted God to be his avenger. When you read that, all that'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 24. David was full of love towards Saul. You know, it all kind of goes in with that. You know, Saul was anointed of God, and the word says, touch not mine anointing, do him no harm. And David realized that scripture. And number one, David was full of faith. He trusted in the Lord with all his heart. David walked in love, and he was full of humility. He did not think of himself more highly than he ought. And you can get that in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 23 through 30. And where Saul had all the... It tells us there how he didn't think of himself more highly than all. He compared himself as they were trying to exalt him. Number five, David was integritable in 1 Samuel 22:9-23. He'd made a statement or did something that caused a lot of priests to be killed. Saul killed a lot of priests, and David took responsibility for it. He knew who he was and what he'd done. And number six, David, he knew how to repent, and that's the story in 2 Samuel 12 of him and having Uriah killed and taking Uriah's wife Bathsheba. And through all that, you know, I mean, when he did that, and number seven, David knew how to worship God, because through everything he did, through having Uriah killed and then taking Bathsheba as his wife, and read the whole chapter and meditate on it, but think about it, David realized how much God loved him. And he realized that his righteousness did not depend on what he'd done, but on what God did. And when we realize our righteousness does not depend on our works, it depends on the blood that Jesus shed on the cross for us, then we realize, I got to run to him. Yeah, I messed up, but if he didn't cast David out, he killed a guy and took his wife. So far, I ain't done nothing that bad yet, Howdy. at least not in my own eyes. You know, in my own eyes, I haven't. But at the same time, we've all done stuff that we have that tendency for the enemy to tell us, man, you can't go before God. He don't want you here. You're dirty. Not so. We just repent and we run to him. And it's not our righteousness, but it's the righteousness of the blood of Christ that covers all those sins. And they're already covered. We just got to say, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. And David did it. And when he did that, man, he right back in the deal. And yeah, he experienced some consequences of actions that he would rather not have experienced. And we'll go through the same thing. But because we run back, the favor of God's all back over us, and the blessing of the Lord's on us, and it makes us truly rich and has no sorrow with it. And we just got to get, we got to believe that's my God. That I can't do anything that's going to separate me from his love. The enemy will try to tell you, man, you're out there now, you're on your own, you've been cast out into idle darkness. Well, I can see a speck of light. Run to the light. And when we run to the light, God's going to put us right back where we're supposed to be, pull us out of the ditch, and we're back on the road, you know, and man, we can go through so many things, and we got not much time left. So, you know, listen, if you're in here this morning, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. That's the first step to come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's a heaven, there's a hell. There's a God, and there's a devil. And we're either going to live under the blessing of the Lord or under the influence of the devil and under the curses of the devil. And God's designed every one of us. He knew us before He formed us in our mother's womb. He desires that we all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, they separated themselves and we walked out from under the blessing and under the curse. But when Jesus came and shed His blood and went to the cross for us, you know, a lot of people have issues with that. They all believe in God. I don't care. There ain't an atheist out there that don't believe in God, because they can say they don't believe in God. They're wrong. They're lying. They may not believe in Jesus, but they know there's a God. They may want to tell us they don't, but they know there's a God. And a lot of people, you know, they know there's a God, but to accept Jesus, the man he died for me. He went to the cross and shed His blood for me. He talks about taking communion, eating His flesh and drinking His blood. And we're like, man, what kind of people are you? When we get to that point of knowing that Jesus died for us, He did shed His blood for us. He went to the cross for us. He defeated death, hell, and the grave so that we might be back in right relationship with our Heavenly Father. If that's you today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you know what it tells us in Romans 10:9-10, if we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we'll be saved, we'll be put back in right relationship with Him, we'll repent. He said, repent and be baptized. We're going to do these baptisms here in just a minute, signifying that repentance, that being buried with Christ and raised up. And so if you want to be raised up to date and you've been walking in it and you're like, man, I don't know, but yes, Rusty, I need Jesus. I want Him in my life. I want to fulfill the destiny He called for me. If that's you, we're all going to pray a prayer together. And we're asking you to please pray this prayer with us and accept Christ today as your Lord and Savior and walk in the destiny that God's got for you from before the foundations of the world. So every head bowed and every eye closed. Y'all pray this after me. Father God, thank You today for sending Your Son Jesus to die for me. So I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe You, Father God, that You raised Jesus from the dead, that You have a purpose for me, that You desire that I come back into the family. So I confess my sins. I ask You to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I give my life to You, Lord. From this day forward, I walk with You. I be who You called me to be. I thank You for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If today was the day that you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to ask you, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to count to three. And if that was you, raise your hand. We just want to get you a Bible. And if you do, if that is you today, and you want to be baptized, it'd be a great day to get her done. So ready, at the count of three, if you accepted Christ today, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Anybody? Over here? Got one? Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise God. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Y'all look up. Father God, oh, what a privilege, y'all. Thank You. Give Him your hand, please. One salvation today. If you want to be baptized today, we can get her done. And Heidi's probably got some extra clothes back there or something, too. So, anyway. Hey, y'all, thanks so much. Y'all are such a treat and such a pleasure to get to minister to. And just get excited. I just encourage you, get excited about what God's got for you, because you're so special in your area of influence, and you need to know that. You know, the enemy will try to tell you, well, you're not worthy, or you don't do this or that. But, man, for those that got saved or are here for the first time, we're glad you're here. If this is the church you want to be in, we're great, and we think it's the best one around. And if it's not for you, we pray that you find one that a good Bible believing church for you to go to. So with that, I'm just give it to you. How do y'all hush?